A little heads up for those of you who are watching live on Facebook right now. As soon as the podcast is over, we are going to add on to the end the interview with Victoria Shaw, who is an amazing songwriter for the Songwriter Spotlight. And that is going to be crazy. For those of you who are ready to get into the actual podcast, here we go.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one,
and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast,
Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Yes. You know, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes. And oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do it, Big D. Hold on.
I got chills.
There we go. Brand new gold for you. A brand new gold for you.
I got chills.
Yep.
I got chills.
They're multiplying. Okay. A lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, and your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear actually happens during warm-up, and Castrol GTX Magnetek uses intelligent molecules. It has intelligent molecules that will cling to your engine all up into the inside wall of your engine like a magnet, and it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. So you want to check it out, Castrol GTX Magnetek. It's what we use in our vehicles.
I got chills.
And he's got chills.
Multiplying. Yeah.
Hi, y'all.
Hey. Well, we are just less than 6 weeks away from Christmas. Let that sink in.
Yeah. Also, some kind of a little bit of bad news or good news, depending, is that we're not going to be doing a podcast next week.
Woohoo!
Try not to be too excited.
It's the Thanksgiving break, which we do, and then we'll come back from Thanksgiving, and I think we'll do one or two more, and then we have the Christmas break, and then we're back to doing them weekly for the rest of the year. As we have been doing now for several years. So this will be the last podcast until after Thanksgiving.
Hey, what do you guys think that is pretty trendy right now but will be embarrassing in 5 years?
Twitter. And the reason I say that is because there's so much going on right now in the world that people are going to regret ever having Twitter and social media. I think so much...
Yeah,
drama.
There's some truth to that.
So much drama is being brought about by people's past posts and past tweets and whatever that we're going to all be like, you know, why do we even get involved in this? Because social media has taken the fun out of everything. You can't make a joke without someone taking it as though you're being serious. And people need to understand intent. They need to remember that a joke is a joke, you know, and just because you make a joke about something, if I make a joke about puppy tails, it doesn't mean I'm a puppy tailist. It just means I made a joke about a puppy tail.
First of all, what a horrible analogy.
No, it isn't a horrible analogy.
Yes, because you said puppy tails.
You can say anything about anything, and people will say that you're an ist of some sort. That's a terrible place to be.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying you said puppy tails like four times.
Do you think what's that guy's name? Guy Fieri? You think he's going to be regretting that hair?
No, yeah.
5 years?
I think he already regrets it, but he can't change it now because it's his thing.
Yeah, I agree. That happens to a lot of artists. A lot of artists get sucked into a thing.
So they have to have a thing?
I think Kip Moore, he fought it. And he got out of it. He
had that the red hat?
Backward red hat.
Yeah.
And he just kind of got, I mean...
He still does the hat backwards?
Yeah, but I think...
Yeah, but you have to keep it for, like, whatever your image is on the album cover, you have to keep that for
a little while.
That's true. That is true.
Like, I mean, Garth in those Garth... Remember, like, all the Garth shirts? Like, mm-hmm. Garth had... He wore a certain type of shirt, and, like, it took him years to get out of it. It basically almost took him to retirement. You know, once he retired, then he kind of was able to get away from
it. He wasn't doing it up until retirement.
Oh, yeah, he was?
Those were called Mobettas.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Mobettas.
Of course Carson knows. I knew Carson was going to come in here
Carson,
and tell us.
Before you go in and leave again, did he wear those up until he retired?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he wore Mobettas straight through.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
But he doesn't anymore.
No, I don't know if they make them anymore.
Well, that would be a good reason to stop wearing them.
I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah, you know who else wore them? We had a conversation about him. Was Tracy Lawrence.
Tracy wore the Mobettas. Yeah.
So, because when you go back and look at those covers, I mean, like you said, those guys, they found their image and they kind of had to stick with it. So
it was like Chris Young. Remember when Chris Young lost his cowboy hat after the first album and he went to just wearing ball caps and everybody's like, oh, Chris
what
Young,
happened?
We got a ball cap. I mean,
well, could you imagine like Dustin Lynch without a piece of headgear? Like, it's weird to see Dustin Lynch, like, I mean,
without any kind
like
of
he's
hat
always
whatsoever.
Got the cowboy hat or a baseball hat. But like, I can't remember the last time. Maybe I haven't seen him on red carpets and stuff, but I think he's always got a hat.
Yeah, like the first time you saw Kenny without a hat.
Yeah.
It was kind of a shocker. Or
like
Tim McGraw.
If you have a beard, you have to keep the beard. Or if you don't have a beard, you can't grow a beard.
Like Zach Brown, if he shaved his beard off, we would be like, who is that?
He could so go incognito. Yeah. We'd have no idea.
Remember when Dirk's cut his hair?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes, because Dirk's had that super curly.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
Girls love the curls, man.
Yeah.
I remember talking to somebody at one of the record labels 10 years ago that said that that's part of a new artist. That's part of their thing. Pick your look. We're going to take pictures. We're going to invest in your image. And then you have to keep it. So whatever your hair is, whatever
do they have, do they have much say so in what their image is? Or is it pretty much, hey, this is what we think your image should be?
No, here comes Patrick.
Patrick would know.
And now.
I mean, you being Patrick. A fashion guy.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody's deal is different, but most people have a lot of say in what it is. But you have to stick. That's the thing. You have to stick with it. You can't. You know,
can't be wishy-washy.
If you're a girl and like Carson, she's got shoulder length or what do you call that?
Long.
She's got longish hair, and it's blonde with red streaks in it. She can't show up tomorrow with short black hair.
And the problem I can't, like, the red is recent. You guys know that. People have started recognizing me because of it.
Because of the red?
Because of the red. So now I can't get rid of it. Because now people, because it
go
makes,
with a different color.
But it makes me more memorable. Blonde chicks are a dime a dozen.
My
right?
belly I mean, makes me memorable.
Like, and people are
that's
like,
that's why I won't lose it.
You're the girl with the hair. Or people say like, oh, I saw you across the room because I saw your hair.
But then what happens? Does that become your identity instead of who you are? Like sometimes, you know?
It's not your identity.
Because I mean, the people I'm talking about are, they're business folks. Like, you know, it's not like anyone's like, I've got to be her friend because she has red hair. Yeah. You know, so I'm not worried about it, but I know that I've got to keep it for a while.
Does it go as far as like the way you do your makeup?
Yeah, because you see, I've got the red lips because now it stands out with the red and the red lips. And people, I also, like you guys know, my eyes are somewhat unusual. They're pretty blue.
They're the most blue. Like you, the first time I saw them, I thought they were fake.
Yeah, everybody
because
does.
Because they're so blue.
Fine.
They're almost turquoise.
Yeah. But I play them up with black makeup because I've had people remember me because of my eyes. Now, truth be told, I was like, well, everybody thinks my eyes are fake anyway. I wanted purple contacts.
No, don't do that.
I thought I'd be like Liz Taylor. And everyone's like, well, no, like I've literally had people say like, I don't remember your name, but I remember your eyes. Okay.
Yeah, it's almost unsettling. Like, sometimes I find it hard to look at you. And it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, it's like,
when
because
the light
they're so
hits them weird,
when
yeah.
They're so striking.
So, but it is, we all, like, them on a much grander scale, me, I'm just trying to, like, I'd like it if three people recognized me when I walked into a party so I'm not standing there alone. But for these guys, like,
yeah,
it's because it's how people see you.
I used to, my beard is a little bit long. I used to have this big bushy beard.
You looked like Taliban back in the day.
Yes, that's such an original
Taliban!
Joke.
Taliban!
Such an original joke. Wow.
No, it's not no.
I didn't
you
think
looked,
he was making a joke.
Patrick, no. You looked it's like the, there was a so guy on the so list that looked like you.
But that wasn't when I had the beard. That was when I had long hair and there was a guy
like,
I looked like on the list.
You're like the Queen of Hearts or something. I can't remember which one he was, but he was one of the cards.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a friend who works in the music industry, Greg. He said something about my beard. I said, yeah, but you know, I tell you what, people spot me from across the room because I'm easy to pick out of a crowd.
Yeah.
And I said I had been at a couple of concerts in a short period of time where artists had seen me from the stage and said, hey, you know, oh, hey, Patrick, Randy Houser, Lee Bryce, and a couple other guys. And I'm like,
a name dropper.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm telling a story. I'm not name dropping.
Do you need to bend over and pick those up?
Can you go back in my office?
Can you bend pinned over too?
Can you bend over?
Are you able to bend over? And that's the Patrick we love. That's the one right there. Hi, Patrick.
Hey,
it's Aaron Andrews. He.
But I mean, think about it, like ZZ Top. Like, I saw one of the guys from ZZ Top. You know how I knew? Because he had a beard.
Yeah.
I really, like, I couldn't.
Are all the ZZ Top guys around?
Mm-hmm. All three of them? Yeah.
They're still, yeah.
Yeah.
The only guy still, he made those cars. Like, he made that ZZ Top.
Yeah. He's, no, well, Boyd Coddington made the car. I know, that's, there goes the car nerd in me.
Wow, no kidding.
Boyd Coddington actually did the design and all that, but yeah.
Eliminator?
The other guy got into it with him through Boyd Coddington.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nifty.
Still pretty cool.
Yeah. But again, your shtick is your shtick.
Have you had a date lately, Carson?
No, but I did. I'll tell you this one. The guy that I went out with a few weeks ago whose credit card got declined.
Yes.
He reached out the other day because he knew we were both attending the same concert.
He was hungry.
And he wanted you to buy his meal again. Apparently he hadn't been fed in a while. And so he texts me and says, hey, is there an opening act? Well, I'm not Google, but, and so I was like, really? Like, I thought that was a pretty lame attempt to like reach out. Like, is there an opening act? And I wrote, no. I mean, okay. Well, what time do you think I should get there? It says doors at 7, but should I?
And like, he's never been to a concert before. He's in media. He's in radio and he's acting like he's never gone.
Did you just drop onto this planet? Like, what happened? And so I wrote, well, I've heard they start on time. So, okay. That's it, right? Like, we're done. Next day. That was a great show, wasn't it? I didn't reply because I'm like, what am I going to do? And he sends back, hey, I mean, I know you weren't interested in seeing me again, but I really wish you luck in your career.
Like, what?
I ran in and I showed it to Patrick and I was like, what?
Did you did you ever come out and say, I don't want to see you again?
No, I ghosted.
Oh.
Why didn't you tell him? The reason I'm not going to go back out with you is because your card was declined and I had to pay for the meal and then you never reimbursed me.
Because, like, he doesn't know that, of course. Like, he should know that.
I would like to state here, because it's amazing, what you were telling us on the show about the girls who only date guys when they want to eat.
To get a free meal.
Like, they're sitting there and they're going, I'm hungry.
Yep.
Let me get on Tinder. Hey, take me to dinner. That's insane.
But you're saying
it really, really, really happens.
I mean, yeah, but to what those girls are doing, chances are the guys are asking them, hey, can I take you to dinner? Which is what happened with this guy. He asked to take me to dinner. He sought me out. So the point was, I'm not above paying. Like, I'm fine. I'm independent woman, Beyonce, throw your hands up. But I am all about, I will absolutely go Dutch. I'll split it. But he wanted to take me out. Like, it was on him to pay. And then your credit card just defaulted. I don't know what happened. And you didn't offer to pay me back. Like, that's not cool.
No. Did he not have other cards?
That was my question. Like, dude, like, you are not 22 years old with, like, a debit card sleeping on your friend's floor.
Oh, no.
Like, this was supposed to be an established gentleman.
When I travel, I usually only take one card with me.
Well, guess what? We were in town.
I was going to say, I got screwed on a New York City trip because I left my cards and I went with just one, and that one card ended up getting jacked up. Yeah.
No, well, if you travel, I get that.
Right, but this was in town.
Right.
And, yeah, so he literally had one card on him, no cash, no nothing. And I was like, we're really doing this. Okay, here's, threw the credit card down.
It happened.
And here we go. So I'm glad that I paid 50 bucks for a good story.
So great. That's so
great.
But
even then, like, he shows up at my phone, and I throw it like there's a spider on it. Because I'm like, why are you texting me? Like, it's, you should just be gone. Just like get a little can of Raid and get him out of there.
Isn't it interesting how one little thing,
and you get
one
judged.
One thing, and that's it.
And that goes back to why I said people are going to regret their social media.
Oh, yeah.
One little thing that they said one time is going to be the thing that's going to hang them.
Yeah. I think I might get my dad a one of those subscription boxes for Christmas.
Subscription boxes?
To what?
I don't know yet.
Oh,
I think it'd be cool, like once a month, a box shows up. And
like the shaving clubs or the ones that they send
like
you
shirts.
Like
your jelly of the month club.
Yeah, it's like, stupid
you think
as
you would like jelly?
That is. That's pretty great.
I mean, it was
jelly?
Like, it was
jelly
in Christmas vacation. It was, you know, like that.
The
they
jelly
all,
of the month
they
club?
Didn't get the Christmas bonus. They got the jelly of the month club. It's the gift that keeps giving the whole year.
Yeah, that's right. I did get him a crate, man crate. Got that for him one year. Those are pretty cool. It's a crate, a wooden crate, and inside you can have different things put in it, like I don't even remember what his had. Oh, his had beef jerky. You can have all kinds of different beef jerkies, whether it's and they're not even beef. Some of them are, you know, ostrich and, you know, buffalo, blah, blah, blah.
What does ostrich jerky taste like? Like turkey? That's kind of what I have in my head.
I think it.
Because they're both kind of ugly in the same way.
I don't really remember what it tasted like, but you can get those crates ordered, and they come in, then you have to, like, pry them open, and, you know, it's a kind of a neat little, hey. But you can also pay to have it duct taped, to where they completely duct tape the entire thing.
Like as a practical joke?
Yeah, and then you have to try and open it.
That's dumb.
That's dumb.
You pay extra
I did that. I did that, and it was stupid.
Because then your dad's just mad at you.
My dad was just mad.
He's like, why'd you do this to me?
What is this? It's beef jerky.
Just open it, Dad.
He had to get a crowbar to open up the wood part. It's like, this is not great. Oh, thanks, Internet. Once again, you weren't what real life really is.
Oh, man. So I had a friend of mine on Facebook yesterday was talking about she wants to out someone. There's a person on her friends list or whatever that is putting out a completely different false life.
What?
Yeah, yeah. She's like, I've been sitting back for months and yeah, she said, I've been sitting back for months watching this play out and I'm really tempted to be the one to out her. And she wanted to get people's opinions on it. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And I haven't.
Do you know, in what way?
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna make sure I don't show her page so it gives her up. Here we go. I will read the exact thing. Okay. So if you have a Facebook friend, one you actually know in real life, and you see their life portrayed on here, that it's such a lie, do you bust them or just casually silence them? So you don't have to drive yourself crazy listening to their daily lies and misrepresentations. I know what the polite thing to do is, but I'd rather practice tough love and blow this thing sky high.
Oh, my gosh.
And then people are just – everybody's replying with just little gifs of giggling and laughing and, you know, whatever. But yeah, nobody actually giving anything. And there's a couple of people going, hey, just let karma do its thing. Give it time. They'll burn themselves, that kind of deal. But – she's like, she goes into it. She said, everybody knows it's lies, and they just stand around telling her how great she is being fake, and we all text on the side comparing lies and laughing. I love Facebook. See, again, social media.
Wow.
Burning, man.
So, I don't know.
Do you out them?
See, this person says, just block them so you don't go nuts. Jamie says that on Facebook. I don't think you say anything. Man.
It's not your place to say anything.
I don't think it's your place either.
I don't think you get in the middle of that because nothing good can come of you. Because all it does then is make you look petty. And then you look like the bad guy or bad girl because you're the one who went and got ugly, you know? And
yeah.
But how bad? I would love to know. I would love to know how bad it really is. I mean, because if she's that ready to explode, then it's got to be some crazy lies.
Do you think it's like, you know, how they have a perfect relationship and always eating at great restaurants when you know that they hate each other and they Burger King in it just like all of us?
I got a buddy of mine, and you know, we've talked about this one all the time. They post all the time how, like, I love my hubby. I have the greatest hubby ever. My husband, my wife, this and that. And then 24 hours later, they're posting, can you believe this? Bling, blang, bling, blarm. Did this and that. And then, like, within a day, I love my hubby. They air everything out. I mean, if they're arguing over spaghetti or rice, it's aired out on Facebook.
Shelby's wanting to know what we're talking about. A lot of people are just tuning in. Bubba has a friend who got on Facebook and said, there's somebody on my Facebook, one of my friends.
Just fake.
Who is fake.
Just fake.
And is not telling the truth, and I'm going to out them. Should I out them?
Yeah, should I out them or not?
Yeah, I say you better leave. You better let that one lay there, man.
Matt says, do it and film it.
Jess, I'm sorry, Jess is fake book, not Facebook. It's fake book.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, man. It's I don't really do a whole lot of Facebook, and I enjoy Instagram, I guess, probably more than anything. But if there's something going on, you know, like a news story, don't you go to Twitter immediately?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, if there's ever breaking news, that's where I go.
Yeah, if I hear of somebody, a celebrity that I think might have died, if you just search, you'll find them, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I think Facebook is kind of one of, Twitter's like right now.
Yep.
And it's, everything's going on, and you can get great information.
Dude, I was watching the football game the other day, and like, this guy goes down, he's injured, and my bud's like, oh man, I wonder what happened. And I looked at my Twitter and I said, this. He goes, how'd you get that so fast? I'm like, Twitter?
Yeah.
Don't you use Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Instagram is great too, because Instagram is one of those that's, I don't know, I just like it. It seems cleaner. Like, it
doesn't seem as ugly. And,
no.
You know, like Twitter, you get the jokes and whatnot, and, you know, some of that stuff gets ugly because then people start calling you out. But what I like about Instagram is the fact that it's kind of like the best of Facebook. It's the pretty pictures and look how great my life is. And then there's no, you don't see a lot of ugliness. But my problem with Instagram is that they changed the algorithm like a year ago or so to where you don't see things in order. You'll see pictures that'll pop up, the first 15 pictures
you've
in
already
your feed,
seen.
You've either already seen or they're from 7 days ago.
Yeah.
Or they're things that, you know, like I'm still seeing Halloween things pop up. I'm like, this is dumb. Why is this popping up?
Yeah, that is true.
I hate that.
I thought it was
No, they changed it like a year ago. It used to be you saw all the new stuff first. And if you wanted to go into somebody's feed and go stalk and do whatever, you could. Yeah. But I don't want to see stuff from a week ago. I want to see what people are doing now.
Hey, if you got questions, you can ask on Facebook. We'll kind of go through some of these. Nessa says, can you guys start uploading your prank calls onto YouTube? No, we cannot. Because
they're real.
Legal reasons.
unlike most stuff you see on YouTube, our stuff is real.
Yeah, that's right. Also, Jordan says, watching from my tractor, gotta love GPS. Danielle says Facebook does that too. Yeah, Facebook changed its algorithms too a while back, and it's awful. You know, things that you think are getting seen are not getting seen, and things you've already seen, you've already seen it. Brenda says, I'm gonna have to find you guys on Instagram. It's pretty easy. Just look up Big D and Bubba.
Just one word, BIGDANDBUBBA.
And Nessa, you don't miss the prank phone calls. We still do them. You're just missing when you're listening. And then Jonathan says, hey guys, I'm new here.
Hey, what's
Hi,
going
Jonathan.
On?
He's new. You know, the new kid. Hey, new kid. When is Brett Eldridge back in the studio? Brett was on the show last week for the CMA Awards, and
I would like to get him back in for Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I would like to do that.
We did
again.
The Christmas party last year with Brett, and we had the sing along, and we made pancakes, and it was fun. We had a really good time. I would like to do that again. I mean, it's kind of his thing. He's known for now. He's Mr. Christmas.
Yeah, he is. He's got that whole
Sinatra standards yeah.
down, man. And I think he is, I don't know. I think I asked him at the CMAs if, I think he kind of took offense to it. I said, you know, do you ever see yourself when country's done that you just do standards? He was like, no. And I was like, oh, right. Of course not. Why? That's stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because he doesn't see the end anywhere in sight.
Right. Right.
Which is obvious because he's going to be around a long time.
Sheila says, hey, I'm new as well. You guys are awesome. You're awesome, Sheila. Greg says, when will Miranda be on the show? I don't know. Miranda kind of comes in and goes when she wants. It's just Miranda's different because, you know, she just has, I don't know. She really does. If Miranda doesn't want to do it, Miranda doesn't do it. And if she does, then she, you know, obviously, but sometimes the record labels kind of force people to do things. I'm not saying that she doesn't want to come in, but I think sometimes, radio guys, you know, screw it up for the rest of us.
One person asks something really personal.
And they keep at it. And it's, you know.
And it burns people. They're like, you know, why would I put myself through that?
Right. And I don't blame them.
Which luckily we have with just about everybody, we've got a trust built up, you know, and people know that what they can expect from us. We're not going to get, if you've got something ugly going on in your life, we're not going to go into that. We'd rather look at the positive.
Yeah.
Christy wants to know if we're live every day. Every day, yes. Yes, we are. Except for Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday is not always live. Oh, golly, got the yawns.
Don't do that, man.
God, it's the worst. Hey, what are you, how are you liking that milk, man?
It's good.
That
it's
raw really milk, good. You digging it, aren't you?
I actually
you?
Have it still here.
Yeah, you didn't take it home.
Yeah, yet. I forgot to take it home. But it's funny because I got home last night after softball, and I made me a big bowl of cereal, and dude, it screwed me up again. It's so interesting how drinking the raw milk that you have been so high on now for the last couple weeks, how much of a difference it makes. Like, especially when you go from drinking the raw milk to the other stuff, you realize how quickly your stomach can turn.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean,
I hear people talking about it. I didn't realize it was that real. Because a lot of times stuff people say is, you know, kind of dumb. Put this black mask on your face and peel it off. Oh, the worst pain ever.
Oh, it's not. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's totally fake.
Yeah.
It's not hard to come off at all. And when you, if you know that those masks come off easily and then you go and you watch those videos, it's obvious that they're like, you know what I mean? Cause it'll kind of pull a little bit, but not bad.
Yeah.
And they make it, you can tell they're making a big deal out of it. And you're like, it'll just come right off. Like it's not that bad. Yeah. Internet. Yeah, you'll like that. It's really good. It's it does have more calories, just letting you know, because of the
Do I look like
fat.
Somebody who
yeah,
is
you do.
Counting
yeah,
calories
you are.
Right now?
I've been noticing you've been posting a lot of things lately that are very cryptic.
Oh, have I?
Yes, you have.
Like
you've,
what?
You have over the last two weeks, I noticed that, and I don't think you're not doing it on the show stuff. You're doing it on yours, Bubba Radio stuff, where you'll have you're doing little cries for help. Yeah, you are. You know what I'm talking about.
No, it's enjoying the heck out of food.
Oh, no, I think he's right.
It's a little, it's a little look at me.
Look at me because I'm eating good.
I ate this whole thing of ice cream.
I did.
I don't know what your end game is on that. I really don't. And then you posted
the
other day.
The ice cream thing, though, that kind of was a cry for help. That one was. All the other stuff, like, you know, sitting there, body by biscuits and gravy and all that kind of stuff, that's just me being silly because I love biscuits and gravy and I started, like, eating them again and, you know, whatever. So
there was something about some cookies or something.
Cookies?
You had posted a picture of cookies or something.
The cookie cake? That was Frank's birthday.
No. I thought these were just cookies. It might have been something else, but... Yeah, I don't get you're trying to do.
I really like right now I'm at my biggest again. I'm back up to my biggest. Yay. But Stacey and I talked about it. I'm like, you know, we're at the holidays now. You know, I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be sitting there at Thanksgiving watching everybody else eat good and enjoy the pies and the cakes and the whatevers and me just sit there eating a piece of turkey in the corner, you know. I'm like, that would be terrible. And then I've got Christmas right after. We've got all that stuff that we do with that. We're going to be traveling, and I want to be eating good. And I just figured for once, I'm just going to throw caution to the wind, and I'll probably balloon up over 300 pounds.
For once?
But I mean,
don't you think you've been
normally,
doing that if you're the biggest you've ever been?
Right. Well, I've said for the last 2 months, it's been I've just checked off. I got off the wagon. I parked it, I put it in a closet, and I padlocked it.
Dude, yeah, you haven't seen the wagon. You don't know where the wagon is, and the registration's out of date. And the horse is dead.
The horse did die. I need a new horse for the wagon.
Man, you need to get you a mule. Get you a couple of mule
teams.
Call
a couple of Amish guys and see about getting you a new wagon.
Thanks. Thank you.
A big, strong wagon. Not a wood wagon. Wood breaks. What's something that doesn't break? That's what he needs, a wagon. Like a titanium wagon. That's what you need to get on top of. A titanium wagon pulled by an Amish mule team.
Oh, Lord. Here they come. Everybody's now starting to hit me up with, try this diet. Try that diet. Look, I appreciate it. I really do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to doing the paleo thing because it works for me. And I'm not miserable on it. But I don't know. I say that. The other side of me is going, you know what? I miss ice cream too much. That's the hardest thing for me on any diet is ice cream and cookie dough. Speaking of, I'm going to pick up some cookie dough when we leave here. When we're done with the podcast,
yeah.
I'm going to go pick up a little roll, the little ones, and I'm just going to gnaw it. I'm going to pop it open. Just go crazy.
God, you're like a meth head. Like,
it's weird, man.
You just pick it up and like, it's like you're living another life. Like, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. Do you, when you go buy cookie dough before, like how many times a
do
week?
Do I hide it or something?
Do you pay cash so your wife doesn't see that you bought it?
No. No. I usually.
I don't know.
I usually.
I bet you do.
There,
no.
Like, yeah, you do. No, no,
that was me just coughing.
Let's call Stacey and ask if she, okay. How often she thinks he eats that stuff.
She knows. She knows. I'm very honest with her about when I'm eating all my cookie dough and stuff.
Because she's so healthy, man. I can't imagine that she just, you know, doesn't just kind of let you go. Maybe yeah. So.
I mean, see. She's got to be concerned.
She's probably napping. Oh, no, 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 no. She's at, never mind.
What?
No, she's at, I was going to, about to interrupt her in the middle of something.
What was she in the middle of?
They got Bible study today.
Oh, bust on up in there. Oh, Jesus love. Hey, it's gone. We need it. What you got? And then they could tell everyone else about what's going on. What are y'all studying? Well, we're studying. We're in our favorite book. What book is that? What book of the Bible would they be in?
Hunger Games. It's my favorite.
No, I was like, what's the book of Bible that somebody posted on Twitter?
Somebody
the
on
other
Twitter
day?
The other day in their it was their Instagram profile. They had like, you know, all their little things and they put Philippines 12:3 or something.
Philippines 12:3, that's my favorite.
Philippines is my favorite book.
People.
Man.
I got chills.
The multiplying.
We have the best job.
How many greases are there?
Three that I know of. Grease one, grease two, and then there's you got the live one that they did.
So what rest of the story needs to be told for two and three? Didn't they wrap that up?
Well, they did the first one, and then like there was the whole thing where was Sandy dead and they went off to heaven at the end when the car was flying. There was that little scandal. But Grease 2 was the different one that was the motorcycle guy, Michelle Pfeiffer. Cool rider. No? You never saw that one?
No.
Okay. And I swear there was a Grease 3. Is there a Grease 3?
Patrick, is there a Grease 3? Do you know?
He doesn't know.
Let's check the Google.
They're kind of starting Rocky in it.
No, it's actually they're talking about a decade ago, they were talking about rebooting it and having them as adults for Grease 3. It's like 2003 they were talking about it.
Oh, dude.
Nobody wants to see that.
Dude, someone just said, if you want to try an amazing food that's definitely not healthy, try Krub, C-R-U-B, and the U has a little dots on top of it.
Like it's Motley Krub?
Motley Krub. It's a Norwegian meal. It's our family Christmas meal, heart attack on a plate, but worth it. Look that up.
That sounds good.
Google that.
You have to understand, I'm Cajun, and pretty much everything is heart attack on a plate, and it's all fantastic.
Krub, C-R-U-B, Krub.
With an E also, or no?
No, a Krub.
It just looks like Krub.
Krub food. Ooh, Norwegian potato dumplings.
Oh.
Shut your... Oh, this looks great. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's with a K. I thought you said C. Klub.
Klub. Oh, they said C. Yeah, so is this like a big potato that has meat inside it?
Yeah.
It's like a,
it looks good, is
a
what
potato
it looks like.
Ball with meat inside. Those look great. Those look great. Yeah.
Look at that one. There's somebody with like, is that their finger? Or is that meat coming through? I can't tell.
It's meat. Yeah, man.
I go back to that Homer Simpson thing. Did you see the Simpsons Halloween thing this year?
No.
No. Okay. Well, never mind then. I'm not going to bring it up.
Dude, those look great.
That looks regurgitated.
Says, while this is not a quick dish to make, the labor you put in is worth it. You can make a second dinner out the following day, blah, blah, blah. And then they have a big recipe for it.
Huh.
They call it potete ball. Potete ball. P-O-T-E-T-B-A-L-L. Potete ball.
Like a potato ball.
like potato ball, but Norwegian. I bet if you just Google Norwegian potato ball, you'll get a recipe for that, and then also see a bunch of silly people in fancy dresses at the potato ball. Got that? The Norwegian potato ball.
Wow.
Would you like to go to the potato ball? And they probably have like
I'm
teenagers.
Glad it was you. I'm glad it was you this time with the terrible pun. Because you guys make fun of me. If I were to have said that, you would have been riding on me.
Leg of salted mutton. Wow, what is mutton?
Isn't mutton like a lamb?
Yeah. Oh, like mutton chops? Lamb chops?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit to that.
To the club?
Yeah. Norwegian potato ball. Norwegian potato dumplings is what they call those, but how do you make club? Anyway, well,
recipes
there you go.
All over the place.
We should do that one day on the show. We should have people call in, like we get closer to Christmas, call in with like, you know, recipes for your, like, what's your go-to, your family recipe?
And then we have to make their recipe?
No, I think then people can, you know, try it out. You know, just saying.
Mom's tamales.
Oh, yeah. Your mom's tamales are the best, man.
They really are. We're going to be in Laredo this weekend, so I'm going to try to find somewhere to give her a little run for her money. But the challenge is out there.
Potato candy. Weirdest candy ever, but it's super amazing. It's made with potato and peanut butter. My mom used to make that. I'd come home from school, and I'd open the refrigerator, and there'd be potato candy in the refrigerator. And I was like, oh, man, it's
Didn't
a good
you bring
day.
Some in one day or something like that, or somebody got us some or something? I swear I think we had potato candy.
Mm. Kay says that they make a ton of it, man. She said it takes all day to make that stuff.
Huh.
Can she call the 800 number?
Yeah.
Leandra, can you call the 800 number? 1-800-667-8686. I want to ask you about that. I think a lot of people are interested in the Norwegian potato ball food. She says it takes forever to make it. Yeah, just call 1-800-667-8686. And we're going to stare at the phone until you call. That's what we're doing right now. We're just staring.
Yeah.
It's 1-800-667.
You know what? We might just open it up to everybody. You feel like talking? This is the last podcast before Thanksgiving. So, I mean, I'm down with it.
Jess, we'll be in Laredo
Friday,
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
So. We'll be at the mall.
Mall del Norte.
Make a wish. Radio.
Helping some children.
Helping some children. What y'all doing out here today? Well, we out here, sir, helping some children. Okay.
I don't think Leandra's calling.
Nah, that stinks.
Oh, dang it.
Nah, going once, going twice. That's the way that goes.
Three times a lady.
Anything else before we roll? Kind of an odd podcast for us.
It is very odd. Again, I just want to remind everybody that Victoria Shaw, Songwriter Spotlight, is going to be tacked on to the end of this podcast.
Oh, wait, she said she's calling now.
Oh. Anyway, while we're waiting on her, she wrote The River, She's Every Woman, bunch of songs for Garth. She also produced the Lady A first album. She was very integral in working with Taylor Swift in the beginning of her career. Same thing with Hillary Scott. So she is amazing. And not just an amazing songwriter, she is an amazing artist as well. Is that her?
Hey, Leandra. Is that your name, Leandra? Okay, can we put you on? Okay, hold on. Yeah, it is Leandra. She's on one.
Hola.
Hey, so this club, is that how you say it?
Krub.
Krub with an R.
It's spelled both ways. Just so you know.
Oh.
I've always known it as a C-R-U-B.
Like crub.
With a little dot above this. Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Okay. And so this is how long does it take to make it?
Depends on when we eat, but it can take like 6 hours.
6 hours?
There is nothing worth making for 6 hours that's worth making.
Oh, trust me, it is.
I can't see that because I'm telling you, I'm one of those instant grat people. If I can't put it in the microwave and be done with it, I mean, the one thing I will actually cook, and it doesn't take me 6 hours, would be like a gumbo or something where I want to get the roux just right. But it doesn't take 6 hours.
What is it exactly?
It's got a lot of potatoes, flours, eggs. You got to peel. I think we do about 50 pounds of potatoes.
50 pounds?
How much of this croube are you making?
We usually get about 30 people at the house.
Wow.
And then we still have leftovers for the next day.
Okay, so it's potatoes, and is it meat inside the potato?
What we do is we make the bacon, and then after we finish the potato balls, we cut the potato balls up, and then mix the potato balls with the bacon and some cream and let it simmer together and cook. And then after all that simmered together and cooked, you put it on a plate. It's really good with a lot of butter melted on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you eat it up.
Yeah. Where do you put the icing? Like, you know, if I wanted to put like icing on it, do you do that in the process of cooking it or you do that after?
Icing, like sugar icing?
Yeah.
He's kidding. Is it?
I would recommend that for the dessert. No.
So there's no meat in it?
How good can this be, though? I don't think I've ever seen a fat Norwegian ever in my life. So this can't be that good.
Oh, trust me. It is amazing. We only cook it once a year for Christmas just because it does take so long.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so well worth it. It is so amazing. I mean, some of my family put cranberry sauce in it, sweeten it up a little bit that way.
See, there goes back to the icing.
I prefer a lot of butter.
Okay.
Butter is better. Real butter, not margarine.
And you pronounce it croube, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you can either spell it K-R-U-B or however else?
K-L.
The U with the little dots on it and then the B.
Okay. Well, that is awesome. Well, you've returned. We didn't know anything about that. So I don't know that I'm going to spend 6 hours doing that because what if he screw it up? Because you're going to screw it up the first time.
Yeah.
It sounds very delicate.
Waste 6 hours.
It's very, it sounds like we're like cooking meth up. And, you know, one little thing, man, and kaboom.
Well, I do have geniuses in my family and we still mess it up. So it's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well.
See ya. Bye. Yeah, because we're not doing a podcast next week. Did we say that?
Yes.
Yeah, no podcast. And then we'll pick back up after that. All right. Cool.
Interesting.
All right, so we ready to get into our singer-songwriter?
Yes, Victoria Shaw. Real quick, again, I do want to thank you guys for having on the podcast. And a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, as we always tell you about. Your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear actually happens right there during warm-up when you're sitting in your driveway. But Castrol GTX Magnatec has intelligent molecules that cling to your engine like a magnet, providing you instant protection from the moment you start. So check it out, Castrol GTX Magnatec. And now I think it is time to close things out with a song.
I got chills.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, part of our songwriter spotlight. Wow, what a real treat today. Victoria Shaw is joining us in the studio.
Woo!
What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Working through some technical issues on our end. But
one of us goofed. I'm not going to say who, but one of us goofed. Or maybe all three of us did because none of us thought about it. We don't have a sustain pedal for the keyboard.
Right. It was nice of you to get the keyboard. I do appreciate that, pedal.
But yeah, so it's going to be kind of weird whenever she plays, you know, because it's going to be like playing half a piano.
I feel like we shouldn't even set anything. Like no one would have ever even noticed.
Oh, somebody would know. They'd go what's up with the polka version of that?
Hey, I like polka.
All right.
How did you get into songwriting? Like, do you remember the first time you wrote something down on paper?
I do. I was 12, and I wrote this song. Not that I stole the music, but I wrote the song to the same kind of lyric pattern to, what was that, Coca-Cola? I was raised on country sunshine. I'm happy with the simple things.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a song called Hollywood Glamour, and it kind of had the same thing. And it kind of taught me how to phrase a song. So I started writing when I was 12.
Do you find that, like Coca-Cola or jingles like that are... you see them when they're really well done, you kind of go, hey, that's someone who knows what they're doing, or wow, that was by the lowest bidder.
I maybe do it now. When I was a kid, I was just like, cool, it's Coke. You know?
Who's the guy who had Barry Manilow? He's had a ton of
a lot of them. Yeah. Absolutely.
Jingles done.
And my friend Jim Brickman, he did things like, don't treat your puppy like a dog, dog, dog. Give him puppy jam.
I mean, think about how hard it is to write something that's catchy in 15 seconds, you know?
Yeah. There's an art to that.
Yeah, and just like there's an art to songwriting, it's not easy. And, you know, that's why we do this, because I think you guys are the songwriters are you are the genre of music, because things are going to come and go, you know, fads will come and go, but the great song will always live.
Well, that's really nice. I know there's songs that affect me, you know, personally, that means so much to me. So music's always been my passion.
What's a song to you that you've written that that you're like, wow, I almost don't want to let that one go because it's so I love it so much?
You know, I never felt like that. I always felt like it was the biggest compliment for somebody else to invest their career, their time, their money into a song I wrote.
I was going to say, I would think that would be kind of like you want it to get to the best singer possible.
I think so. And, you know, if you hold it too close.
It deserves that person.
Exactly.
When you get to see.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's fine. When you see somebody performing your song, like, is it almost like a proud mama thing?
Oh,
I can't imagine what that feeling is like.
You know, obviously, I've written a lot with Garth, and I will say those are always the biggest audiences singing along. And I took my kids to see him in Yankee Stadium last summer because they had never seen him because he'd been retired. So we walk into Yankee Stadium. There's like, whatever, 45,000 people. How many are in there? And then at one point, they're all singing The River, you know, waving their phones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to, that was just a blank sheet of paper in my house.
Yeah.
I always think about that with hit songs. Like, that was just, we walked in the room with nothing. And it's amazing. There's all these people singing it. It still blows my mind.
That is kind of, when you think of it that way, that's pretty amazing.
It's amazing because every song starts the same on a blank piece of paper.
How did was The River something you kind of had an idea for?
No.
Oh.
Actually, I actually just played the Bluebird last week with Garth, funny enough, and we talked about this story.
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't know.
Well, he was launching this new anthology book, and we all played in the round. It was really fun. So we were talking that when I met Garth, he didn't have a record out. I don't even know if he had a record deal yet. Maybe just got one. And so we were just two wide-eyed dreamers, you know, trying to make it. Nobody had heard of us. So he came over to write, and we were blank for hours, just trying nothing. And finally he said, so let's just stop, you know, let's take a break. What are you listening to right now? What's on your CD? And I was like, oh, I bought this new James Taylor CD. And he goes, well, play it. And sometimes when you play music, it takes you out of your head into someplace else. And after about a song or two, he went, I got it. And I turned it off and he started singing the first lines of The River. So we wrote this song in about 2.5 hours, honestly. It just really came because it was our story. And afterwards he was sitting on the floor, I'm sitting on the couch, and we played it over and over on that boombox. And remember, he wasn't anybody yet. And he said, man, can't you just imagine a stadium full of people waving their lighters and singing this song? And I thought, oh, my God, this guy's so delusional.
And didn't you also hate the word vessel?
Oh, yeah, I tried to talk him out of the word. I thought, vessel, that's a weird word. And even his manager, Bob, tried to talk him out of it. It's like, that's a weird word. But as he said the other night, he goes, wouldn't boat have been just so, you know,
just,
let down.
It wouldn't work.
I will sail my boat, you know. So I'm glad I trusted him on because now vessel's sending my kids to college. I love that word. I try to use it in every conversation I have.
Can we hear a little bit of song?
Okay.
That song that's so cool that he started off with nothing and then he says that and then you lived it.
Oh, well,
in
you know,
Stadium.
Even besides Yankee Stadium, I had the pleasure of opening for him in Central Park.
Oh,
so that's about a million people. Of course,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I was there.
Were you there?
I was one of the million.
Wow. I mean, it was something. Of course, for me, it's like after the first 50,000, you really can't see far beyond that. But they were there. But we sat there that night, and my mother and I watching him sing this, lighters, you know, everybody's lighter in the air. That was probably the moment of, holy cow, he saw this when nobody did. So it was pretty cool. So I got to play with no pedal here. Should I just play a little bit, you said?
Yeah, just a little bit.
You know a dream is like a river, ever changing as it flows, and a dreamer is just a vessel.
soul that must follow where it goes. Trying to learn from what's behind you, never knowing what's in store. Makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shores. And I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Like a bird upon the wind, these waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry.
You're the best singing songwriter I think I've ever met.
You're very kind.
Like, most are like, hey, can we hear a little bit? They're like, yeah. Well, I will have my vessel. And you're like, oh, hey.
We're not going to name names.
Well, here's the guy who made it famous.
That's really nice. I was actually thinking, man, it's early to be singing.
No, right now. No. Victoria Shaw is our guest. Our songwriter spotlight. We'll come back and talk more with her next. Victoria Shaw is our in-studio guest for our songwriter spotlight, which is exactly what we're doing, putting the spotlight on the songwriters behind
Woo-hoo!
The music. Let's talk about songs that you have written and thongs that you've written.
Thong, the thong, thong.
Did you write the thong song? Did you write
Cisco's song? I wish I had.
I Love the Way You Love Me, John Michael Montgomery.
Yes.
Might be the best song you've ever written, in my opinion.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Of course, The River, She's Every Woman from Garth, Too Busy Being in Love. That was number one for Duckstone. Two Pink Lines. We were just talking about that the other day.
Eric Church.
Yeah. With Eric.
Remember, it was scandalous when it came out,
Totally. And if it would have come out now, it would have gone, I think up even further, because nobody realized what a rebel he was. And
yeah.
I'm kind of bummed. I mean, I'm proud of that song, but it was like, oh, it came out. It was not
the
wrong
time.
But the thing about Eric Church fans, though, is that luckily they go back.
Oh, they do. I get a lot of comments on
that
song.
Yeah. So they go back and dig into his catalog.
That song was inspired for me.
Really?
By an SNL skit I had watched the night before. It was like a takeoff of an early pregnancy test commercial where they don't know if you're pregnant or not. And it was these two college students who really didn't know each other. It was just a funny skit.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, yeah, that's funny. These days the rabbit doesn't die. You just sit around waiting on Two Pink Lines. And then I saw, these days the rabbit doesn't die. I had this Tom Petty kind of thing in my head.
Yeah.
So I brought it to Eric the next day. And he was, again, hadn't had a record deal yet. And so I had this idea for a song called Two Pink Lines. It's about waiting on a pregnancy test. And at the end, the girl, she's not pregnant. And they kind of go, see you around, and he goes, I don't get it. What does it mean the rabbit didn't die? And I said, come on, you've heard
so
that
he
expression.
He didn't even understand yet. That's awesome.
I felt old, okay? I felt like I should get my cane and walk out of the room. I was like, come on, you've heard of that. They used to do the rabbit test. Didn't you ever see like old reruns of, Dick Van Dyke, oh, Rob, the rabbit died, whatever. And he's like, nope. So I explained to him the story that they used to do that. And he goes,
can you explain it to me? Because I'm a little lost right now.
Oh, well, it used to be that.
How old are you, Victoria?
even the reruns, I'm talking about reruns. But it was old, on every show.
TV Land.
I think it was that if a woman, the only way they could find out if a woman was pregnant was to inject a rabbit with her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If the rabbit died, she was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he said, is that why Steven Tyler had that song? I forget what the song was like. Where he was, whatever the words are, blah, 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 and the rabbit done died. I go, yeah. And he goes, I thought he was just making up words.
Well, you think about all the things that the generations don't
exactly
understand.
But then he got, then he said, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not connected. I said, that's fine. I'll use it somewhere else. I'll take it. So we had two back-to-back writing sessions. We wrote a song that day, and the next day he came in the room and he goes, that song idea you had yesterday? He goes, I thought about it. I've lived through it. Let's do it.
Wow. What happened in between session one?
Wow.
Somebody was in an OB commercial all of a sudden.
Wow.
So it's just funny that song was inspired by an SNL skit.
If you don't know the song, can you give us a little bit of Two pecan line.
I mean, honestly, I can't because it's so country. It's so country. It's so guitar oriented, and I don't play guitar. But it was like, you know, the chorus was, "These days the rabbit doesn't die. You just sit around waiting on two pink lines." I can't remember any of the words. But it was very good. It went to like top 10 or something, and I'm proud of it. And I think you know, he does it still in concert, so that makes.
I saw him
happy.
Play it on the last tour. Yeah.
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. I had friends sending me video, so it's nice.
How did John Michael Montgomery song come about?
Oh, well, I was dating this guy who I thought he was an amazing kisser. And so I was driving to a gig at the time, and I mean, a piano bar gig, and I was thinking, oh, God, he kisses so good. He kisses so good. And I thought, and I like that kiss sound, that kiss, like, it's like a sexy sound. You know, that's a nice sound. And then for some reason, and this doesn't happen often, this music and these, like, first four or five lyrics, lines came into my head, literally, I like the feel of your name on my lips, which I thought was unusual to say, the feel of your name. And I like the sound of your sweet, gentle kiss, the way that your fingers run through my hair, and how your scent lingers even when you're not there. And I like the way your eyes laugh when you dance, when you laugh. And that's all I had. And I was like, where the heck did that come from? And I literally pulled over, yes, I'm old, pulled over the side of the road and called my apartment and sang it into my phone machine.
Oh, smart.
So that I wouldn't forget it. And then I brought it down here and I met a new writer named Chuck Cannon who was falling in love with a girl named Laurie White. And we just wrote this song. And little did I know that it would end up being, you know, John Michael's first number one, Win Me the ACM, and then go across the pond, as we say, to Europe and become a big pop hit for a group called Boyzone. So that song's been very, very good to me.
Oh, what is the I always think it's interesting to ask, and it's a little personal, I guess, but has the finances changed dramatically over the years?
Is there a more intense word than dramatically and drastically? It's really sad. I mean, you know, I don't want to sit here and to do all that stuff, but yeah, the streaming and, you know, there was no precedent for it. It was the Wild West, and unfortunately, the sad thing is that the songwriters usually get the shaft. So we get the lowest, everybody kind of figured out how to make their money, but the songwriters are still fighting because we're the only non-government job that's actually controlled by the government when it comes to rates. We can't bargain. I can't say, hey, you want to cut it? You want to cut it? Somebody make a big bid. It's like, no, you know. 9 cents, and it's amazing. But, you know, we're just surviving and trying to change laws. And you know,
I don't understand why the government got involved in music anyway.
I don't either. But one of the people say that back in 100 years ago was all about piano rolls, you know, those piano rolls.
Yeah, yeah, for the player pianos. Mm-hmm.
And when they decided about, you know, we're working through all that stuff, there wasn't a songwriter in the room. So that's what we keep trying to do is put a songwriter. I've testified in front of Congress. I've testified, you know, library.
You told them about Jesus?
Yes, I testified. But, you know, we're just struggling and just, you know, trying to get the word out. But we'll see what happens.
Well, it's important because if we don't have new songwriters stepping up.
People don't understand that.
It dies off.
They can't make a living.
The craft goes away.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if they can't support their families, then they can't support their art. So right now, there's really nothing that, I mean, just consumers to get it legally, download it legally, but it's really all the streaming companies and all of that needs to pay.
Yeah, they need to do their share.
Right. Well, they're paying the record companies now, but we're not seeing it trickle down in other ways. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
but
okay.
Back in the 90s, oh, damn, that was good. That was, nobody thought that was ending, and that was the Garth, you know, decade of, oh.
What's the biggest check you ever walked out and got in your mailbox?
Oh.
Back in the day.
You know, I
no, come on.
Okay, well,
you don't
okay.
Come the on, amount, tell me. But what song was it?
Would you have known? What is it? Is it broken down
yes,
that
it is
way?
Broken down. You know, it's neck and neck. I mean, I love the way you love me. Very, very good.
Yeah.
The river. Very, very good. Anyway, the checks go straight to a business manager. But
is it more?
He
is
does
it more,
call up.
More yeah. than $100?
Sometimes.
Okay, sometimes. Okay, Victoria,
nowadays, not so much.
Victoria Shaw is our guest, our songwriter spotlight. We'll come back to talk more songwriting next. Hey, joining us for our songwriter spotlight, a real treat, Victoria Shaw is with us. By the way, she is not only a songwriter, but she's also an unbelievable artist. And highly
I've got
recommend.
Her Christmas album.
Yeah,
I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. Thank you. I write a lot of Christmas songs that have been recorded by Jim Brickman and Richie McDonald, a bunch of people. So I just decided to put my own version of it out, and people seem to really like
That's
it.
That's good money, cool. By the way. Getting a Christmas song is smart business.
Yeah. Well, it's good because it's a year, you know, definitely comes around every year. And I just love Christmas music. I'm like, right now it's what, November 2nd, November 1st? I'm ready to start listening to it.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about She's Every Woman that Garth did.
That came from a conversation, and I don't remember exactly what was going on, but I remember standing on 16th Avenue with Garth talking about something, and he said a line, and I said, oh, we need to write that. I mean, it was just something he had said.
What was the line?
Something about something he never had, but it was not every woman. It was something about that's every something I never had. And the way he phrased it, I was like, oh, gosh, that's really – I've never heard it like that. Let's write that song. Let's write a song with that line. So we got together probably that week and wrote that one pretty quick. And, of course, I was from New York and L.A., so there's a little of me in there, too. You know, she's so New York and then L.A., you know, it was like – because we were looking for two places that were opposite. It's like, hello, I'm right here. But I'm really proud of that song because, again, I write so differently with Garth, very kind of more folky than I ever write with anybody else, kind of more James Taylor influence and stuff. We wrote this song. He cut it. He was, you know, explosive. He was God at that time. So in some ways, it's funny. It went up the charts so quickly. Not that you should complain about that, but you do kind of want a slow rise and a slow descent. Anything he put out, it went from, like, I think 11 to 6 to 1. So that when I play it out, people go, oh, I forgot about it. I love that song. Because it was just, you know what I mean? When they're just on fire.
It burns so fast hot that it also diminished just
in some
quickly.
Ways. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got another song that came out after that also went to number one.
Right.
So
it was just anything he touched, people just wanted, you know?
You want a slow burn, especially when you're talking about the songwriter, because
that's how we make our money.
Yes, exactly.
If it stays in top five, top 10, you know. But, I mean, I'm never going to complain that it went to number one too fast. But it is a song that I love because it's just so simple. And obviously, you know, I'll sing it the way he did because to change it, I'd have to change the gender, the name, the blah, blah, blah.
But, change, do whatever you want if you want.
Well, I don't know. I'm wearing lumberjack shoes. I'll just sing it the way it should be.
She's sun, rain, fire, and ice. A little crazy, but it's nice. And when she gets mad, you best leave her alone. But she'll rage just like a river, then she'll beg you to forgive her. Oh, she's every woman that I've ever known. She's so New York and then L.A. and every town along the way. Oh, she's every place that I've never been. She's making love on rainy nights. She's a stroll through Christmas lights. And she's everything I want to do again.
Should I keep going?
Oh, that's so cool.
Anyway, you know.
I think that's such a magical talent to be able to sit there and go, oh, that sounds great. Let's write a song about that.
Please tell me you wrote a song about the blank sheet of paper. When you said that earlier, I'm going, golly.
I think I have a song.
Somebody like you
like
should have written that.
I think I have an old song. I need to refresh about that, actually.
If someone gives you, like, if Bubba was to say something and it's stuck in your head and you go and you write about based on that, does he get money off of that?
No.
Dang it.
How does that work?
Because, I mean, I can have a conversation with you and you said something and it just inspired me. I don't like when I don't let people come up to the Bluebird and say, which they, you know,
they'll say,
go,
I got a song idea for
I've
you.
I've got an idea for you. And, you know, legally, I don't need any problems because I've had a weird psychic once. This weird psychic crazy lady from Colorado tried to sue me for the river. Like,
She said she planted it in your brain.
I don't know what it was that she introduced me to Garth. I don't know what it was, something about that she wrote it or she introduced. It was a long time ago when people, I guess, first of all,
Miss Cleo?
No, she was in Colorado. So she's, you know, but when you have a lawsuit, you still got to pay attention to it. So she contacted a lawyer or whatever, tried to sue me. And it turns out, though, it finally was dropped because her lawyer dropped her because she was also trying to sue the government for using her brain.
Okay. That's helpful. That's usually helpful when her own lawyer drops her. That's usually
but
pretty
But anyway, that scared me. So when people come up and go, I have a song idea for you, I always kind of lightly say, I haven't run out of my own, but thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Is there a song that you wish you would have written?
Oh, gosh, many.
A lot.
Oh, my God. And you know what's funny is I became friends with so many of these people who wrote it. Like, it's funny to still now they're my friends, but yet I'm still the biggest fans. The Dance was a song that changed my life. I used it when I was really going through a hard time. I always tell Tony that. Everybody, the pinnacle that everybody tries to get is I Can't Make You Love Me. I can't make, you know, the Bonnie Raitt. My friend Mike Reed and Alan Shamblin wrote that. That is like everybody's dream is to write that song.
Why?
Because it's just perfect.
Yeah, from a songwriter perspective, that's...
It's perfect. It is so perfect. I Can't Make You Love Me if you don't.
And I've heard it done in so many different genres as well, and it fits in all of them.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a universal song.
There's so many love songs, and love songs are such a universal message. And then there's heartbreak songs, and that's a universal message.
It was so real.
This one's kind of in that weird...
It was so real. Yeah. I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't. I Can't Make Your Heart Feel Something It Won't.
Oh,
you know, it's just...
So
it
perfect.
Went on. And then I will tell you now... I'll tell you my favorite song of this year, and there's a lot of great songs out there, but the one that made me tear up in my car was Better Man.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Swift song.
It's a brilliantly written song, and she's a great songwriter and has just bloomed and gone and grown and proven it time after time. I used to write with her when she was 14. Her mom used to drop her off at my office. And even then, she was talented, hungry, wanted like a sponge to soak it up.
Did you think she was going to be just a songwriter, or did you think that she had a musical career as well?
I knew she was trying it for a musical career, so I saw her as the whole thing. But, I mean, she was 14, you know, I mean, and she was 14? 14 or 15? I think she was 14. I was, and I liked her. We wrote a really good song, actually, she and I and Sarah Buxton. But I couldn't commit to weekly writes with her, which now, of course, you want to kick yourself, because I had committed to another young artist that I was developing who was 17 at the time, named Hillary Scott. I was developing her. So I always feel like, you know, I kind of pledged my allegiance to her. So I can only, I'm like a mom. I have to devote right here, right now.
Yeah, you don't want to pick between your kids.
Well,
you
gotta... and also I just really want to give 100% when I'm devoted to, you know, meant to do something. So obviously Taylor and I, if she sees me, we hug her, but I didn't keep writing with her. And then of course, you know, Hillary met the boys, and then I developed, you know,
Lady Antebellum. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to say is you were a big part of that first album, right?
Yep. Co-produced it. Won a CMA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So awesome.
Thank you.
Is that a good thing? That's good, right?
That's good.
You know what? If anybody out there has a chance to win a CMA award, I highly recommend it.
We've done it, actually. It's really fun.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. There
it's
you know.
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, and it never gets uncool.
Yep. It was so good to see you.
I'm happy to be
here. How do people reach out to you if they want to listen to you or...
Money.
Just money?
Reach out with money.
You know what? I'm on Instagram, Victoria Shaw Music. And actually, if you go to my Instagram, you'll see me singing with Garth at the Bluebird. I posted some stuff, and it's pretty cool. So Victoria Shaw Music, victoriashaw.com. And also, I'm available anywhere music is legal and, you know, legally sold. Yeah.
Okay. I love the way you added that in.
Yeah.
Legally sold.
Legally sold.
Yeah. So I hope they check it out.
Yeah. It's good to see you, Victoria
Shaw. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.